Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time. Say not for months, then come the harvest.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily gospel broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Dr. Ballou and today's broadcast.
It's harvest time.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. I greet you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy, what a privilege is mine to come to the radio microphone and share another gospel broadcast with you. I trust whatever you're doing today, if it's at all possible, you can just kindly relax and maybe take a copy of the Word of God and study with us as we look today at the message from the Word of God. I do want to say I'm grateful to God and to the radio stations that carry this gospel broadcast. Our burden, our emphasis, as you can detect by listening to the broadcast, is on missions and reaching the world with the gospel of the grace of our God. Again, let me just say what I've said often on the radio broadcast. Every creature, God wants every creature to have a preacher. God does not will that any man die in their sins and go to hell, but he wants them to be saved by the marvelous grace of God. And I appreciate this privilege that's mine, as Peter would say, to stir up your minds by way of remembrance. I'm probably not telling you much you haven't heard before, but if I can stir you up to get involved in the work of missions, then my effort is not in vain. We're looking in the Word of God at a message that I've entitled, "But Preacher, Why Missions?" Oftentimes, I'm approached by people that said, well, I just don't see the need. And more than saying it, you see it by their actions. They don't get involved. But I ask the question, and I'm answering it from the Word of God, on Preacher, Why Missions? And my first answer, and I've been dealing with it for all the last three broadcasts, I suppose, on the command of the Scripture demands that I be involved in the work of missions. But preacher, why missions? And I answer that by saying, because of the command of the Scriptures. When I read the Word of God, I come to this conclusion. If we're not involved in world evangelization, then we're not a New Testament Christian. If your church is not involved in world evangelization, then your church is not a New Testament church. Or you might say, we've got church sign out front, and we've got a steeple on our building, and we have hymn books, and we carry the Bible to church, and we sing hymns and songs of praise and worship, and we talk about God, and we teach about the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Going to church does not make you a church any more than going to the garage would make you a car. You see, my friend, to be a church, there's some things that are required from the Word of God, and one of them is that we be involved in carrying out the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a church that misses missions, any church that's not involved in the Great Commission is no more than a social club or civic organization. But I answer the question, but preacher, why missions? First of all, with a command of the Scriptures. And what we're doing on the broadcast is we're looking at the Great Commission as given now in the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. I'll deal with the others, the Lord willing, in the future broadcast, but I'm still in Matthew, chapter number 28, where the Word of God said, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And as we look at these verses of Scripture, I'm taking the word "go" and putting a question behind it. First of all, we looked at "go who?" And we find the Word of God commands that all saints of God, all sons of God, all servants of God are to be busy going somewhere, telling someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, if you know anything about the Bible, every saved person is called a saint of God. Every saved person is called a son of God. And every saved person is called a servant of God. So I submit to you that every Christian is to be a missionary, going somewhere, telling someone about the Lord Jesus Christ, but not only going himself, but being involved through praying and providing for those who do go. So we see go who? Then second, we looked at the question on yesterday, go where? Where do we go? And I pointed out to you, Matthew's gospel said, go ye and teach all nations. Mark said in his gospel, go ye into all the world. Luke said that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then the book of Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And then the Bible said in Luke chapter number 14, verse number 23, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. So anywhere there's a sinner, there's a mission field, and that sinner needs somebody to go to them, come to them, and tell them the good news of God's amazing grace, his mercy, and his salvation. Now I want to come today to the third part in this question of go. Not only go who and go where, but third, I want to look at go what. What does a missionary do when he goes to the foreign field? What's his purpose for going? May I say to you very quickly, he does not go there just to be an educator as far as secular education is concerned. He does not go there to be a farmer and teach farming. Does not go to teach them how to build houses and how to do other things like that. Though I have no problem with that being some of the results of his being there and some of the second working of his being there. But the primary purpose of a missionary going to the field is laid out in three steps here in the Great Commission. Let me read it again, then I'll deal with them. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Three thoughts I want to give you in this part of the Great Commission. Go what? And I'm giving you three words that rhyme because you can understand them and remember them better. First of all, as a missionary goes to the field, what's he to do? Number one, he's to evangelize. Then number two, after that person is saved, he is to baptize. And then number three, after the person is saved and baptized, then the job of the missionary becomes one that he is to stabilize. He's to set them down, disciple them, teach them, instruct them that they might be stable and that they may go out and lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ and carry on the work of God in a local church. But I want to back up and look at these in the light of the Word of God as time permits on the broadcast this morning. Not only go who, go where, but go what? What are we going to do? First of all, as I said, the job of a missionary is to evangelize. I want to say it again. We do not go to the mission field to be educators, to be workers as far as factory workers is concerned, to be farmers. And again, I have no problem with you helping the people in some of these areas. But the primary purpose of the missionary, number one, is to evangelize. He is to reach sinners with the gospel of the grace of our God. On the mission field, every heartbeat of that missionary, every hour of the day, his mind ought to be set on reaching the lost that God has sent him to. His mind ought to be, the old saying is, he ought to go to bed with it on his mind. He ought to get up in the morning with it on his mind. I'm here to reach the lost. Now, how does he reach the lost? Well, Matthew said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, some will not appreciate what I'm fixing to say, but I want to tell you, our Lord majored on teaching as well as preaching. There are those in our ranks today who minimize teaching and build strongly upon preaching, and I'm surely for preaching. I'll deal with that in just a moment. But I want to tell you, teaching and preaching are, in one sense, two different things. They have two different purposes. You see, teaching enlarges the intellect. It opens the eyes of the understanding that people may comprehend the truth as it's laid out in the Word of God. And for a person to be effective as a missionary, as a pastor, and by the way, in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11, God identifies that pastor as a pastor teacher. He gave some apostles and some prophets, some apostles, and some evangelists, and some pastor and teacher. That last one is a singular office, the job of the pastor. He's to be a pastor teacher. He is to be a teacher. His preaching ought to teach the people something. It ought to answer some questions. It ought to increase their understanding. It ought to enlarge the capacity they have of understanding the Word of God. And it ought to tell them some truths that they can build their life on. So teaching is enlarging the intellect. It's dealing with the understanding. But then what is preaching? Preaching lays a demand at the will. It requires that person to do something about what he has been taught. Now, in order for a sinner to be saved, he must hear the teaching to know he's a sinner. Now, for those of us who grew up in America, and especially in the South, in the Bible Belt, we have this preconceived idea that everybody knows they're a sinner. And everybody knows that Christ died for them. And everyone knows that they've got to come to Christ with repentance and faith to be saved. But I tell you, that's not true around the world, and it's not even true in America. They must know these truths before they can be saved by the marvelous grace of God. You do not get saved just because you feel something or just because somebody else talks you into it. There's got to be some knowledge. You got to know something. You must be taught. Well, I see my time's going again. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
It's harvest time. Say not for months.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. How I praise the Lord for the open door that's mine to come to the radio microphone day after day and share with you the message from the Word of God. I appreciate you listening, and I'm grateful to God for the radio stations that carry the broadcast. Let me encourage you today that you pray for this ministry, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not want to waste my time and your time and radio station time and the broadcast not be a blessing. And then I want to encourage you that you write to us. A letter from you would be a blessing to us. Let us know who you are, where you're at, and if the broadcast is a blessing to you. And then I encourage you, if the Lord would lead you to do so, that you share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time. That's 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. You spell Resaca, R-E-S-A-C-A. And be sure to join us again each day, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you is our prayer.
The horrid mob for selfish gain, the toil of hands for ease and comfort. I look and see earth's gold.